Greetings, it's Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration. We were going through the scripture here, looking at the different places where it talks about the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. We had come to the end of Romans chapter 7, and we're going to begin with Romans 8. But initially it started with Galatians, but as I looked through this, I found that there was a lot of other verses that I was kind of missing by not going back to Romans as well. So Romans chapter 7 talks a lot about the flesh and this whole conflict. You know, again, Paul talks about in 15, for that which I do I allow not, for what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. And he gives this whole struggle in Romans chapter 7. And it talks a lot about just this battle with the flesh. In Romans chapter 7, the word spirit, I believe, only appears once in the whole chapter there in chapter 7. And then when you come to chapter 8, it actually kind of turns a corner. It begins at the end of chapter 7, verse 25, it says, or let's start in verse 24, is where it basically turns corner. He's just bemoaning the fact this sin has so much power over him. And then in Romans chapter, and then chapter 24, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says these words, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he is bringing in here just the remedy for all of these things that he's been talking about and how he's going to deal with this. Then he says in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read a few verses there, maybe a good part of Romans chapter 8. I'm going to be reading. And then when you come to Romans chapter 8, there's another thing, is now Romans chapter 7 has the word spirit once. Romans chapter 8 has it 21 times. So that's the clear difference where Paul is really bringing in the remedy for this dilemma that he finds himself in. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Does it stop there? No, it does not. It goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Oftentimes we hear just part of this verse quoted. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you're not going to walk after the flesh. As it says, I think I mentioned it last time, that how by the sin of one man, this curse, this disease of sin came upon all men. And then also, by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, this eternal life is available to all men. So, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He walked this earth. He was a human being just like all the rest of us, with all the same passions, the same temptations, and yet he was able to overcome that. He was able to walk sinlessly. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There again, he talks about that, not walking after the flesh, but after the spirit. So what does it mean to not walk after the flesh, but after the spirit? If we are walking after the flesh, we are allowing the flesh to be our slave master. We are allowing the flesh to control who we are, sin and destruction. But if we walk in the spirit, there is life. And Here he says, the verse before that, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, the law of sin and death. Okay, so just a little illustration that I've used myself in the past, and I've heard other people use it, is the law of gravity. We cannot get away from the law of gravity. It's just not possible. We're always bound to it. We whenever you drop something, it heads for the floor rather rapidly. And if you jump down from a high place, you're going to fall down very fast, and you're going to hurt yourself. And so that's just the nature of the way things are. We cannot change that. However, if there is another law in effect, like let's say for instance in the case of an airplane, a 747, a fully loaded 747 Boeing jet weighs about 1 million pounds, and that is an awful lot of weight pulling down on the ground. And yet with the right circumstances and with the right speed, and he goes zooming down the runway, even that 1 million pounds can be picked up and go sailing into the air. So what is happening here? Is the law of gravity no longer pulling on this plane? Sure it is. But there's another law that's in effect. That's the law of aerodynamics, that as the air coming under the wings of the plane and the air coming over the wings of the plane travels faster than the air coming under the wings of the plane, it creates a lift that overcomes that law of gravity and begins to raise this 1 million pounds, goes sailing into the air. Look, seemingly effortlessly. And that's a little bit the way it is. We still have this, we're in this body, we're in this this temple, you could say, this flesh, and we have to deal with it every day. But there's another law that has taken effect for us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. And that's the law of the spirit that lifts us up above that law of sin and death. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and it cannot even be subject to the law of God. It's impossible. Or it says, that's what it says. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we walk in the flesh, we cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of us. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. And so there he's just continually, hammering this point home that to go after the flesh is death, to go after the spirit is life. You know, if we are in Christ, we are. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's verse 11. Talks about verse 13. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So there he's just continually giving that contrast about living it, walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit. So I think I'll end there for this time, and then we'll pick it up next time again.